These days, it's beautiful outside. A lot of people love, enjoy golfing. But I'm not a golf person. But I do have a golf club. A few years ago, actually, it was maybe 8 or 9 years ago, when I was appointed to a Waterman church somewhere middle of DeKalb area. Oh, I love Waterman. But anyway, at the time, a friend of mine said, "Paul, now you will enjoy a rural town, and you may wanna learn how to golf. Okay, I have 2 golf clubs, so take one of them." Okay. So I read some articles about golf and watched golf lesson on YouTube. They taught me a lot. It was good. And I told my wife, "Honey, I think I gotta buy an indoor golf training mat. I need to exercise. Maybe I need golf shoes. Maybe that will make me look good. Maybe I need a hat. I need a shirt. So whatever. So all kinds of stuff." I felt like I was already on the field, even though it was in my study room. And I chose the biggest driver. Not because it's big. It's gonna be good, right? It's gonna be really nice. So I learned how to grip the grip and the swing and all the motions on YouTube. And I hit the ball with the training mat. Hit the ball again, again, and again. And let me tell you, it never went the way I imagined. Never. The problem was, of course, I was focusing on the wrong side, wrong things. I should go out and practice in a real world and better way. All I wanted was looking good and watching some video lessons. And I never got used to any of them. What I needed was actually not knowing how to do that, but exercising and getting used to them. You know, I'm very competitive. So I tried that again and again and again and again and again in my study room. And one day my wife said, "Honey, please stop. Otherwise, you will either break the window or break your back." So I stopped it. Sometimes when it comes to our Christian faith, we practice our faith in a way I practiced golf. That is, we focus on something external, which makes us look good or feel good. And we make sure we have a really nice leather-bound Bible with our name on it. I have one. And we make sure we look good and we smile when it comes to church. But in our story today, Jesus is going to say, "Honey, that's not enough. It is not enough." When we play the game of life that way, we find it annoying and frustrating, and our faith doesn't seem to work. So our scripture reading today, it tells us what Jesus was really expecting of us. The Good Samaritan. Whether they go to church or not, most people, we know this parable, the Good Samaritan. It is the most famous story Jesus told in parable that changed the world. It is about the importance of helping the people in need, and we need to make our faith real by our practice of love and care. And this story changed the world, because when we get it, when we understand it, and when we live by this story, the world and our community would be truly different because of this story. And I bet I have preached it so many times in the past 2 decades, and you have heard it before, a lot. And we all know it is all about love, compassion, good works, and sacrifice. We know that. So today, I want us to look around and find a way to exercise it. Because I believe Jesus will say, there is something more. Dive into the story and live by its teaching. And let me tell you a little story about the relationship between Judea and Samaria. Israel, it was divided into 2 countries, the northern Israel and southern Judea. And northern Israel was conquered by the Assyrian Empire in 722 before Christ. And the empire, it was so brutal. And they forced northern Israel to get intermarried with Assyrian, so that they just want to mix the people in their empire, especially people in Samaria. So Israel people, southern people, especially them, they valued a lot of purity in their genealogy, family. So southern Judea, they didn't want to be friend with the people north side. They didn't want to even talk about that. They didn't want to be a friend with the Samaritan. And the Samaritan, they have the same, technically they have the same heritage of faith, the Hebrew faith with the same Torah, but Jews, the southern people, they call the Samaritan corrupted and impure with bad blood. So southern people, they treated the northern people less than a human being. And of course, the north people, Samaritan, they treated the southern people in the same way. And that has been getting worse and worse and worse as time went on for centuries. So during the public ministry, Jesus passed many places in northern side and southern side as well. And he met many good Samaritans as well as the opposite side. When Jesus came to the region of Judea, there was a group of southern people. Now we have the story. They wanted to hear Jesus' teaching. And one of them, he wanted to test Jesus. So one of the Jewish people, Jewish scholar and lawyer, came to Jesus. He asked Jesus to test him. He said, Rabbi, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's simple. It is a simple an important question that many of us, we want to ask. It is basically, what do I have to do to have a good life and get to heaven? But in this story, we know that he is testing Jesus. He presumably knows. He knows the answer. He's a Bible scholar. He knows the answer from the Bible, but he wants to test, and he wants to know whether Jesus' answer is his answer, whether Jesus is right, whether Jesus is on his team or not. Sometimes we do this. Sometimes people come to you and ask for your opinion. So tell me what you think about this. What do you think about this? Then they lay out something, some issues. But in a few minutes, you sense that they already have their opinion on it. No matter what you say, they are not going to change. They are not going to change their opinion. It is really about them just getting affirmed or testing if you are on the right side, if you are on the same team or not. So this is happening with Jesus. And we may also think about his question itself. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's interesting. Okay. We started going to church because we wanted to know how to get to heaven. We want to be a better person? Yes. We want to know how to get to heaven. And we want to know, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And what you need to catch from this question is, let me just read the question again. What must I do so that I may have eternal life? I. It is all about me. Me in our faith journey. I went to a boarding school for my high school, so sometimes I called my mom on the phone and said, Mom, I love you. I love you so much. And in a few seconds, I said, Mom, I need $20. Well, so I love you so much. That was kind of a gesture. Asking for $20, I knew my mom would give me $20 anymore, I mean, anyway, but I thought it was kind of a nice gesture. I can say that. And actually, I meant it. And a few years later, I became a college boy, and one day I thought of my mom, and I sent her a text, Mom, I love you. I love you so much. No further text of asking for $20. I was simply grateful for my mom's presence in my life. That was it. Then, about 5 minutes later, my mom called me. And she said, Honey, are you okay? That was so sweet of you, but follow-up text has not come yet. And I knew she has saved the text for years, many years. So you see the difference. I believe we need to change the question. It should be like, what must I do to live a life pleasing God? To be a person after God. How can I honor God with my life? Then we get to the question to that. Right answer to the question. And you are going to figure out the second and third questions that follow in our faith journey. You see, with the right question, God is the primary object of the questions. But in the case of this lawyer, he was the primary object. You can tell the difference. And that difference leads us to the right path or wrong path. It causes us to leave our faith journey in a right path or not. So there is another one that I want us to pay attention. When Jesus asked the lawyer, okay, here is one person, priest, Levi, and the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man in need? Then the lawyer replied, the one who showed him mercy. You hear that? The one who showed him mercy. Instead of Samaritan, he answered, the one who showed him mercy. We know what's going on here. He doesn't even want to say the word Samaritan. He can't even answer Jesus' question by saying that word, the one he despises, the one he wishes doesn't exist, the one whose name he wants to avoid, or the one whom he would have the least in the circle of his life, or maybe the one out of his circle. And I'm wondering if we can identify who the Samaritan is in our lives. Who are they? If you are a loyal Republican, your Samaritan might be Democrat. If you are a staunch Democrat, faithful one, your Samaritan might be Republican. If you are a big fan of Chicago Bears, who's going to be your Samaritan? Packers. Oh, why? There are so many other teams. What about if you are a big fan of Packers? Oh, sorry. In our time, the Samaritans might be the people who look different, who speak different, who live in a different ways. Maybe they are the people of another ethnicity, depending on your life experience, your relationship with them. Samaritan might be an African American. It might be a Native American, Hispanic, or Asian. We all have a kind of stereotype, bias we have in our mind, and we might want to keep our distance. Maybe we don't want to trust them entirely. To make it real for our world today, we need to think about it. Who are they? Who are the one that I do not want to even mention? Just say the one who showed him mercy. So we find two important lessons from this parable. The first one is, who is the primary object in our question? You can simply ask God, just like me in my high school, God, I love you, and I need $20. Or you can say, God, I love you. What can I do? Who is the primary object of your life question? We need to have God in the center of our lives. We need to find God's will in our lives and live our lives to extend God's love and care to the people around us. And the second one is, knowing is not enough. Practicing, exercising, and living in our lives, it is required. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan, and let's just ask ourselves, who is the Samaritan in our lives? The one I have been struggling with, or less trusting, or even afraid of? And how can I love them and show them mercy to please God? Amen.